Hello there and welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. Come on in. I have a chair for you right here at my table. I'm going to start this show out by asking you a question. I can't believe it. He's asking questions. This is no good. This is not like Gary. He doesn't ask questions from the very beginning. But I'm going to ask you a question today, and I think it's what we're supposed to talk about on the program today. Do you trust Jesus? Do you trust him? Do you trust that given your current set of circumstances, whatever they may be, that he's in control and that you're willing to surrender your life to him? I mean, basically, do you trust him? We will talk about that on the program, and we'll use the give up worry for Lent verse of the day as kind of like our basis around that discussion. But I really think it's a question that we have to ask, we have to address, and it's very uncommon. I mean, it's very uncommon for anyone to say, yes, I trust completely. And I think if we're being honest with ourselves, and Lent is a great time of year for honesty, because in order to improve, to become holier, in order to let the Holy Spirit work on us and change us, to transform us into the image of Jesus, which is the Holy Spirit's job, in order for that to happen, we've got to be honest when it comes to our shortcomings. Because if we don't recognize that we're deficient in certain areas, that we are weak, if we don't recognize that, then we fool ourselves, right? And we don't become better. And I think on any given day, any of us can be susceptible to not trusting. But I want to explain something, and we'll use the show to do that. You know, I'll get in more detail into that as the half hour unfolds. Trust is more than a feeling. In fact, trust is not a feeling. And I think that too often we associate trust with a feeling of trust. And if we don't have the feeling, then we think we're not trusting. But in reality, we may be trusting even though we don't feel it. So my goal for you today is to help you understand that you might trust a little better than you think you do. I hope. And on the other hand, I want to point out that sometimes we don't trust, and we have to work on that. But it's good, because Lent is the time to do that work. So settle in, grab a snack, grab a drink, whatever you need to do, and be prepared so that we can talk about this. By the way, happy St. Patrick's Day to you. You can't see this because this is a podcast, but I am wearing my green shirt today. I am 100% Polish. I am not the least bit Irish, but in solidarity with my Irish friends and my Irish wife, I am wearing green today because it's what you do. But happy St. Patrick's Day to you, and I hope you're having a good day. I hope you're having a good day. It's a dreary day here in New Jersey, but it's not too cold, so I'm very happy about that. I think we're having some nice weather coming up soon, which is really good. Hey, why don't we pray? Let's turn to our Heavenly Father and pray, and then we'll get right on with this show talking about trust, all right? And before we begin, let's just take a minute to recognize that we are in the presence of God our Father. We don't have to do anything to make that happen. But it's good for us to just recall that, you know? It's not like we have to call him up on the phone or do any special thing or go to a special room to make sure he's present. He's present with us no matter where we are. But it's always a good idea for us to recognize his presence before we begin our prayers. Otherwise, we can just start and not really understand just how powerful of an experience it is, you know? It's easy to go through the motions when it comes to saying prayers. And I don't want to do that. It's easy. And don't think that I don't do that sometimes. And I'm getting better at it, but I still sometimes have to catch myself. And I really have to work on that, because it's an incredible blessing to be able to speak to the Father in prayer, right? So let's do that now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we approach you now with incredibly grateful hearts. Father, even though you are extremely busy, even though you are all-powerful, even though you are the creator and the ruler of the universe, you always make time for us, your children. What an honor it is not only to be able to have this conversation with you, but to be called your children, to be called your adopted sons and daughters. And all of that was made possible by what Jesus did when he became man and enabled us to become your children, Father. We thank you for being our Father. We thank you for creating us. We thank you for loving us no matter what we do, no matter how many sins we commit, no matter how many times we fall short of the mark. That doesn't change your love for us at all. There's nothing we can do or not do which will make you love us any more or any less. That's really hard for us to wrap our human brains around, because we don't have any other examples in this world of somebody who loves us that much. But thank you for being that love, that loving Father to us. Father, please continue to keep us in your embrace. Keep us safe from all the dangers that we face every day, spiritual as well as material dangers. Father, please accept our intentions, grant our needs. Please keep our families safe, our friends. Please heal those who are sick. Restore hope to those who are hopeless. Please bring an end to the COVID pandemic, finally. We thank you for all the progress that's being made. We thank you for the development of the new treatments and the vaccines, because all of these tools, medicines, whatever they are, they're all coming from you. You inspire the researchers, the doctors doing the work, but it all comes from you, and we're grateful for that gift, Father. Father, I ask you to use me as your instrument on this program today. Please give me the words. Let me know what I'm supposed to say. I know that you have a message for us, so please let me be able to deliver that message without getting in the way. Father, I pray that you will open up all of our minds and all of our hearts to be receptive to this message. And we ask these things in the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. And if you're just tuning in, or if you're new to the program, I'm Gary Zimak, and we call this program Following the Truth. We do this podcast every Monday through Friday, and I'm so glad you're a part of it. It's just such a blessing to be here with you. I want to remind you that in order to find out more about the work that I do, if you want to purchase one of my books or get on my daily email mailing list, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. In addition, that's the place to go if you want to bring me in to speak at your church or your conference, followingthetruth.com. I'm starting to get some inquiries. I haven't booked too many talks because things are still up in the air. I've booked a few for later in the year, but not too much. But I would love to speak at your parish, your conference. All you need to do is go to followingthetruth.com and we can set things up. All right. I'd love to hear from you. You can also go to that website to pick up a copy of my new book, Give Up Worry for Good. This is the follow-up, if you want to call it that, to Give Up Worry for Lent. Actually, there was another book in between, Let Go of Anger and Stress. That was my book about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. But Give Up Worry for Good is really designed to be used as a follow-up to Give Up Worry for Lent, which we've been discussing for the past several weeks. We'll keep talking about it for a few more weeks. But then that next book, Give Up Worry for Good, it's the next logical step. If you're really serious about trying to break free from the chains of worry, I mean, it really is. It's something that holds us back. It enslaves us. It keeps us from growing closer to God. It stops us in our tracks oftentimes when it comes to taking a risk, when it comes to following the lead of Jesus. That fear that can cause us to worry sometimes stops us. And that's what the book is about. It's about liberating all of us from the prison of anxiety and learning to walk with the Lord, because that's where you're going to find the peace. So you can find that book at followingthetruth.com. All right, let's talk about this verse. Now, by the way, I told you on yesterday's program, I was having a rough day, you know, and I really felt it was important for me to share that with you, just so that when you have a rough day and you might not be feeling it, you might not be feeling God's presence, you might not feel like trusting, you might not feel like saying your prayers, just understand that you're going to have those days. I have them. They don't last. That's the good thing. It's all part of the spiritual journey. And, you know, this is one of the more frustrating aspects of trying to grow closer to Jesus. He's going to let you go through these periods because he doesn't want you to get so locked into the good feelings that you turn to him only when you want to feel better. He wants you on your good days. He wants you on your bad days. And on your bad days, he wants to remind you that, yes, he will give you peace, but the peace that he gives isn't always a peace that you can feel. It might just be in your mind. In your mind, you know you're doing the right thing. In your mind, you know that Jesus can help you with your problems, and you know these things through faith. But you might not feel it in your heart. And again, he lets that happen sometimes so that you can learn to rise above your feelings. That's one of our big problems, and that's something we try to conquer during the Lenten season. We sometimes are motivated by our feelings. Have you ever canceled some sort of an obligation because you just didn't feel like going? Have you ever decided not to say your prayers or not to spend time with the Lord in prayer or doing some spiritual reading, or even not go to church because you don't feel like it? I think at one time or another, we've all done that. But it's a problem, because God is faithful to us. He's always there for us. And it would be a good, what's the word I'm looking for? A good way to respond to him and show our love for him by always being there for him. What does that mean? That means sometimes you do it when you don't feel like it. And that's what Lent's all about. Lent's helping us to train our passions and to do the right thing even when we don't feel like it, and not to do the wrong thing even when we do feel like it. That's how we get ourselves into trouble. That's what sin is. Sin is going for the pleasure, doing something wrong because we think it's going to feel good. And sadly, the dangerous thing about sin is, most of the time, it does feel good initially. Because if it didn't feel good, we wouldn't be tempted. You know, I don't have to be tempted. Now, I always have trouble with this one. I've heard somebody say one time, I don't have to be tempted to eat Brussels sprouts. Well, I happen to love Brussels sprouts, so that's, I always think that's a terrible example, at least for me. But, you know, just think of your least favorite vegetable or your least favorite TV show or your least favorite music, and there's no temptation in doing something you can't stand doing or can't stand the taste of. But that's the danger of sin. It seems so good. It looks good. Same thing with worry. Worry is moving away from God. When I begin to worry, I'm essentially telling the Lord that I don't trust him. And that's the topic for today, by the way. But that's what worry is. And in a sense, it feels better to do that, to begin to worry, than to say to God, I surrender my life to you. Please use me in any way you want to. And that's scary, especially with your family members. And that really ties into today's topic, though. Trust. Do you trust him? Lent's a really good time to work on that. Lent is an excellent time to work on that. And even though, this is funny, even though we don't want to trust him, because it's hard to do, it requires that surrender, which those of us who like to be in control, we don't like this. We struggle with this. And that's very tricky, the idea of surrendering. But even though we often refuse to do it, and say, I'm not going to surrender. I'm not going to give my life and my children's lives over to the Lord. You know, and we try to protect them, protect ourselves, control things. Ultimately, he's in charge. And you know, we fool ourselves in thinking that by saying the words, I give my children over to you, Father. Please take care of them. Allow what's best for them to happen in their lives. You know, a prayer like that, that can be really scary. Even though you're not in control, he's in control. But that prayer of submission, just saying those words, that's not an easy prayer to pray, because we're so used to holding on for dear life. But the way you're going to find peace is to let go more and more. And that leads us into today's Bible verse. It's from Isaiah. And again, this is the Give Up Worry for Lent Bible verse for Wednesday, the fourth week of Lent. It's Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Essentially, what Isaiah is telling us is that if we want to find peace in this life, we have to keep our thoughts focused on God and learn to trust in him. If I can learn to trust in God, trust that he's got my back, that he's not going to let anything happen to me that can't help me in some way, that if he allows me to experience some form of suffering, that he's going to give me the grace, and, you know, on and on. Unless I can do that, unless I have that level of trust, then I'm never going to find true peace in life. I'm never going to find that peace that I'm looking for unless I can learn to trust him. Now, the challenge comes in when we look at trust and we try to figure out what trust is. Trust isn't a feeling. You know, you could go through life not feeling the trust for God, but yet you can still make a conscious effort to trust him. And honestly, that's what it comes down to. That's what we have to learn to do. We have to say the words, Jesus, I trust in you, or Father, I trust in you. I pray that at some point every day. Do I always feel it? No. But it's an expression. You know, we don't have a lot of control in life. And I talk about this a lot, but it's really true. One thing we have control over is our will, and our will drives our thoughts. So I can choose to say to God, God, I trust you. I can choose to surrender my life to him. I can choose to pray. And I can choose what to think about. Now that becomes tricky. And I've noticed that early in the morning, it's really difficult to control your thoughts. When I'm sleepy and I first wake up, sometimes my mind is just wandering. It's just kind of like an endless stream of events. And sometimes when you're drifting off at night, it's tricky too. But that's something you can work on. You just do the best you can to try to control your thoughts. If a negative thought comes in your mind, you try to counter it with a positive thought. And instead of dwelling on all the negative possibilities that could happen to you in life, and it's very easy to conjure them up, all you need to do is turn the news on for a few minutes, and you're going to come up with a million reasons to be worried. But instead of that, instead of just letting those thoughts run wild, you can counter the negative thoughts with positive ones. What happens if I never get my vaccine? COVID never goes away. Well, God is still in charge. What happens if I never get another job? God's in charge. God can help you to get a job. What happens if my bank account runs out? God can help you. He's bigger than that. And you're going to have your days where, and listen, I know what it's like to be unemployed for an extended period of time. It was not fun. I've gone through it. And it's easy to become hopeless. But if you focus on the power of God and what he has done throughout the ages, and the Bible has plenty of stories, if you focus on that, it is possible for your hope to be restored. But if you just dwell on the negative, and you're going to find plenty of people who will shoot down your hopes, who will tell you that you're dreaming and that it's not worth it having faith and that God's not going to help you. You can find plenty of people who are going to be really negative and who try to take away your hope. It's easy to find those people. But you need to work. You need to work to control your thoughts and to turn them around by focusing on what God has done and therefore what he can do in the future. It's not easy, and it does take work, but it's something that you can do. I mean, there's a lot you can't do in life. There's a lot of things that you're incapable of controlling, but your thoughts and choosing to focus on God, choosing to open up the Bible, choosing to pray, these things can be controlled. And that's the way you're going to find peace. So if I had any message or any takeaway that I want you to get out of today's show, it's that you can trust in God by choosing to do so, even if you don't feel the trust. You know, it is tricky. It is tricky because we're so used to believing that love is a feeling, that trust is a feeling. But that's not true. There is an element of feeling to love and to trust. There is. But it doesn't have to be there. And sometimes it's initially not present. You know, you start trusting Jesus. You don't always feel it in the beginning, especially when he's asking you to do some pretty tricky things. For example, you get diagnosed with a serious illness. And if you've ever been through that, you understand how frightening that is when the diagnosis comes down, the doctor sits down and starts telling you how serious this is and talks about treatment options. But at that very moment, you might not be able to control the illness. or the outcome. But you absolutely can choose to accept it and say, Jesus, I trust you even now. I embrace the cross that you're allowing me to carry. Please give me the grace to move forward. And if you get into the habit of doing that, eventually the feelings begin to come, but not initially. So I'm going to encourage you to do that today, to use those words found on the bottom of the Divine Mercy image. Jesus, I trust in you. Whatever you're facing, whatever you are facing right now, Jesus, I trust in you. You don't have to feel it to say those words. Hey, I want to thank you for hanging out with me on the program today. I look forward to being back with you tomorrow. I plan to be here. I hope you can as well. I want you to know that before I go, that I am praying for you every day. And I would ask that you would please, if you could, pray for me as well. I could really use the prayers. I could also use some donations too. I've been asking lately, and I put something out in my daily email, and the response was good, but nowhere near what I need. So if you are able to help and become a monthly sponsor of my ministry, I would greatly appreciate it if you could do that, or if you could make a one-time donation. The way you would do that totally securely is by going to followingthetruth.com, click on donate, and then you'll be able to donate through PayPal. It's totally secure online. followingthetruth.com, and I could really use the donations to continue forward with this ministry, which I would love to do. I would love to do that. Anyway, I hope you have a fantastic night. Remember, Jesus, I trust in you. Keep repeating those words. He loves to hear that expression of trust. And I look forward to being back with you next time on Following the Truth. Bye-bye now.